League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
It's John and Lance.
Do you have any, is there any intelligence out there at all?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 95 and 92.5. All right, Lance, I got some questions for you because I'll tell you what, I think they're legitimate questions right now. Because we're heading towards fantasy football. I don't want to know about your team, but I want to know, I mean, you know what? There are more weapons right now in the NFL than I can ever remember. I'm going to ask you this. This guy or this guy? Who would you take? You got a choice. Breece Hall or Bijan Robinson?
I'm going to go with Bijan Robinson.
You're going to go with Bijan over Breece? I'm going to go with Breece Hall.
Okay.
I think with Aaron Rodgers, I think he's going to have himself a huge, huge year. And I, matter of fact, I might almost go, McCaffrey's got the calves right now. That's a problem. You've got to worry. He's played the last two full seasons, but you always got to worry about how tightly wound that dude is.
Are you going to take his running back if the quarterback's having a huge season?
Well, yes, I'm going to take the one with the – this is for wide receivers, so it's a little bit different. Which wide receivers are you taking first? CeeDee Lamb, Tyreek Hill, Jamar Chase, Amon-Ra St. Brown, or Justin Jefferson?
Lee. I'd go with Tyreek Hill.
You'd go Tyreek
so
first.
So you got Justin Jefferson with a new quarterback. Amon-Ra St. Brown I like, but why don't I just stick with the guy who's done it every single year he's been in the league, Tyreek Hill?
Well, the guy that's done it now is Justin.
Yeah, I mean, Justin does it, but we're talking about we're going J.J. McCarthy and Sam Darnold now. I'm sorry. I think Justin will be throwing a fit on the sideline by his third game.
That could well be. Who are you going with, Saquon Barkley or Kyron Williams?
I actually think Saquon's about to have a big year. But he's got a touchdown hog playing in Philadelphia, so that's actually a really good
question.
Kyron
Williams has been fantastic.
Been great. I think Saquon's going to really, for the first time, have an offensive line that opens it up for him. I think Jalen is more than happy to dump it off from time to time. But the problem that you have with it, you have to remember where Saquon has a touchdown hog and Jalen Hurts. Like, will they stop doing a tush-push? Because you know who's not a great short yardage runner is Saquon Barkley. He's not a pounded in between the tackles, guys. He's actually not a powerful. He doesn't run through tackles. Why would you ever not do a tush push if it's legal? Why would you ever? Yeah. Why would you ever prevent yourself from doing the most unstoppable play in the history of the sport?
Right.
Like, so how many touchdowns does Saquon get? Maybe 8 total. Kyron Williams is going to get rushing touchdowns. He'll get some receiving touchdowns.
Well, I know. So you take Kyron. You said you take Saquon.
I still am taking Saquon because I think Saquon's going to run for 1,300 yards. And I think he'll catch 50-some-odd passes.
All right. Which quarterback are you taking? Are you taking Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, or Lamar Jackson and Patrick or Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes?
I'll take Josh is going to have to do a lot on his own. I think I'd take Josh or Lamar Jackson. Remember, the running yards are the real key here, and running touchdowns, that's what puts you over the top. Mahomes is out. I would not take Mahomes. I would say...
he's got a running game. As far as him running,
yeah. I think Saquon's going to take some of the attention away from Jalen, so I think it's between Lamar, Josh, who was the other quarterback you said?
Jalen. I've had Jalen the last 2 years. He's been fantastic.
Yeah, but you got Saquon over there now.
That's all right. He's still going to run the ball.
Isn't that crazy? Jalen was fantastic last year, and he clearly had a down year. But in fantasy football, kept scoring tush-push touchdowns. That's all that mattered.
Which rookie wide receiver are you going to take first? Are you going to take Rome Odunze? Are you going to take Malik Nabers? Or are you going to take Marvin Harrison Jr.?
God, man, that is so hard. Rome is up against it with two other wide receivers. So to me, it's between Malik and I'll take Kyler and Marvin Harrison Jr. I'll take Marvin.
I'm taking Malik.
I've got Marvin winning Rookie of the Year offensively. So No. I have Caleb winning, but I got Marvin second. So I'll take Marvin.
Yeah, which rookie quarterback are you going to take? Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels?
Caleb.
Caleb looks really good. But Jaden looked pretty good, too, now. And Jaden's going to run a lot more.
Yeah, Jaden, you're right about that. Caleb tries to keep from running. Jaden's not afraid to run, and that's where the fantasy football points come in. Now, you're asking that question, but clearly in a real fantasy league, you're not trying to draft a quarterback unless, you know, maybe as a backup, but they're typically not as successful. But, yeah, I wouldn't have a problem with maybe having – see, I don't think Jaden's going to throw a bunch of touchdowns, though, so it's going to be pure running. I do think Caleb – Williams has a chance. I would draft Caleb Williams late in a draft before I would take Jaden.
I wouldn't
want him as one of my starters, though. I don't think he's a top 12 quarterback.
Which would you take first, Nico or Diggs?
Ooh, I've had that question. I'm going to go Nico.
You're going to go Nico?
That's a really hard one, though.
That's a hard one. That's a tough one.
That's a hard one. And you throw Tank in there, too. Like,
right.
How do you stack those three in terms of fantasy points? We're going – in fantasy points is going to be catches, a point per catch, yardage, 1 point every 10 yards, and then a touchdown of 6 points. So we're going standard points per reception fantasy football stats. How would you stack them 1, 2, 3? I'm going to go Nico 1, Diggs 2, Tank 3. But I think they're all three going to have 1,000 yards receiving.
Tank, Rashee Rice, or T. Higgins?
Is Rashee going to prison?
Rashee's going to be okay. Rashee's going to
even though he had that hit and run.
No, yeah, no. His,
is he getting suspended?
No, his court date is until December.
Oh, he's going to be okay. His court date got pushed back.
Right.
Oh, not that he's going to be okay. He's not getting in trouble for this.
Well, no. But you don't want him to be suspended right after his court date.
Well, clearly you don't in fantasy football.
No, well, but if it's in December, fantasy football is already over.
Yeah. So Rashee, Tank, and who else?
T. Higgins.
Oh, my God. These are hard. Did you make these up or did somebody put
these together? I'm just making them up.
These are hard ones. I would say Rashee Rice. Wait. Who else does Joe have over? Pat. I'm trying to think of who else Pat
Worthy.
Has. Yeah, he's a rookie. I'll go Rashee Rice.
Yeah. Rashee Rice is still going to be. Oh, Hollywood Brown just got hurt.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Hollywood got hurt bad. His lower body.
Shoulder. His shoulder.
No, I'm thinking of Reuben Owens. Texas A&M lost their stud rookie running back with a Reuben Owens is out for the year. Did you see that?
No.
Stud bad. Running back, five-star running back at A&M, out, lost for the year because of a lower body injury, and he's out for the year. Kind of a – that sounds like a scary thing. They took him out, and he's gone.
Sam Laporta, Travis Kelce, or Trey McBride?
I'll go Travis Kelce, but Laporta might be the play.
I think Laporta's the number one, although Trey McBride is getting a lot of love.
Is he really? That surprised me. Did he have a big year last year?
Yeah. Well,
he must have.
Yeah, he had a nice year, and especially toward he's
dude.
He's
Laporta was a monster, though. I don't think there's any way Laporta goes before Travis Kelce in drafts, but he probably should.
Kelce has moved down for some reason. Maybe it's because this is his last year.
And his productivity, he's getting banged up. His productivity dropped a little bit last year. There's thoughts. I don't think he'll make. I think he'll be this year's his last year. I think he'll retire and do something with his brother.
Puka Nacua or Cooper Kupp?
I'm going to ride the hot hand and go Puka.
Puka's been banged up this training camp. And the thought is that Cooper's going to have a I'm going Cooper.
Will the Texans Puka. I'll ask you, will the Texans all three wide receivers get 1,000 yards?
No. One will fall short.
I mean, it's happened a few times.
Two of them will, one of them won't.
Two of them will. Who are going to be the two? You think Tank doesn't, or you think Diggs doesn't? Or you
think Tank might be just short of it. Mm-hmm. I think Tank might be just short.
Not if he plays 17, but he's got to get through 17.
Yeah, he's got to. Well, even with 17. Ladd McConkey, Keon Coleman, or Brian Thomas?
McConkey.
McConkey's his only weapon.
Yeah, I mean, you have Johnston from TCU, who's always got the drops.
Yeah, but what? Yeah.
You got Josh Palmer, who's solid. But I agree, Ladd McConkey is going to get ready. Ladd McConkey is going for a. The guy who's the best in our league year after year, Mr. Ass, Pat O'Neill, he's already targeting him. I already know Ladd McConkey. So it's going to, Ladd McConkey's going to be in our auction league. He's going to be, you're going to see a fight in there because I'm not letting him get him for cheap. So
listen,
get ready to
Coleman.
Spend a lot for him, Pat O'Neill. I'm not letting you off the hook here.
Wow, you hear that, Mr. Ass?
Yeah, fire listen, away. I'm going to go $1.
All three
higher.
Of those guys, though, could be their team's number one guy. McConkey could be number one. Coleman could be number one, and so could Brian.
See,
Thomas.
I think Coleman is not going to be number one because I think it's going to be Dalton Kincaid, the tight end, I think will be number one.
Well, as far as wide receivers go.
Yeah. Wide receiver, yeah. But I think the number one pass catcher in Buffalo is going to be Dalton Kincaid.
Well, then that
Ken
might
Coleman,
be the guy.
Ken Coleman, I'm a little concerned if he's going to get open. I know everyone loves the way Keon Coleman talks about things, and they love I mean, there's a reason he got drafted where he did. I think Keon Coleman has some ability when the ball's in the air, but I'm not sure. I think he's going to be draped with coverage all year long. I'm not sure he's going to have the year people think, to be honest with you. I think he may struggle a little bit this year, even though he would appear to be in a great spot. I'm not sure that he's going to have the numbers. I think McConkey's going to be, just like you said, John, I mean, that's wide open there. You basically hit reset with your pass catchers, and McConkey gets open, catches everything. Who was your other guy that you mentioned?
Brian Thomas.
Yeah, BT is – that's kind of a tough one for me to call because Brian Thomas I put as my dark horse for Offensive Rookie of the Year. I made him basically number 11 because if Brian Thomas, if for some reason Trevor Lawrence clicks in with him early, this is a guy who's had 17 touchdowns last year for LSU. Like, that's with Malik Nabers on the team. Brian Thomas is actually bigger, just as fast, and scored more touchdowns than Malik Nabers.
Yeah. All right, last one is going to be Pacheco, Derrick Henry, Rashad White, Alvin Kamara.
I'm actually going to go Derrick Henry. I think he's going to score a bunch. I think Derrick Henry has a little renaissance issue.
The highest rated is Pacheco.
Okay. I can see that.
Highest rated is Pacheco.
Well, Henry's not going to catch a lot of passes either.
You got look at this. I'm telling you, with James Cook, Joe Mixon, Travis Etienne, Derrick Henry, Rashad White, Pacheco, Gibbs. I mean, it's guy after guy. I'm telling
you,
this is the most talented. I think this is. There's going to be a lot of NFL. There's going to be a lot of scoring in the NFL this year.
I think Saquon's going to score a bunch. I think Bijan will have a better year, a much better year, his second year. Most running backs do. I agree that from a fantasy football standpoint, this is a really, really good year with ascending players being added to the players who are in their primes, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, 713-780-3776 is the number. If you want to get in here, I think this is going to be a great, great fantasy year. There's going to be scoring galore because there's so many good weapons right now. So many good weapons out there. 713-780-3776. Taking a quick break. Don't go anywhere.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Justin Verlander, 52 pitches on Saturday for Sugarland. He said but the best thing about it was that there was no pain. That was the best thing about it. Of course, he's going to be a little bit rusty. He's not going to come right back and, I mean, especially – you know, like AAA. How are you gonna get those guys out? But here's the deal: is Justin Verlander is soon to be back into this rotation. If you had to rank the rotation right now,
is this how are we going to predict what it's going to look like?
If it wasn't for egos like Fromber, Fromber starts game one right.
I mean, Fromber right? almost had a no hitter the other day.
I know, he's looked really good.
I mean,
but Hunter Brown has been. Hunter Brown has been your ace.
yeah,
for the
but
last month.
What I think it's going to look like is Verlander 1, Fromber 2, Hunter Brown 3.
Ooh, you think you start Verlander? Well, I can't start Verlander 1 now, right now. No.
Well, you have to project a little bit.
Well, okay. I still can't start Verlander right now.
You don't think Verlander will be the number one guy?
I might not be.
When it's all said and done. I mean, it could be Fromber. It's not going to be Hunter Brown.
It's going to be Fromber.
Okay, so it'd be Fromber Justin.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
Maybe. That would be interesting to see if, I mean, is there going to be a Fromber? Man, Fromber ahead of Verlander?
Okay, so where do you want? Okay, so you're not going to be, you'll be at home in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be at home in the first round. Do you want Hunter Brown starting game three on the road? Is that what you want?
I just want to win three games.
And where's
so.
Kikuchi? You know what? Kikuchi's your fourth starter.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's got, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So you know Kikuchi, pop Kikuchi, baby. So I think that he is, yeah, he'll be four no matter what. And Hunter's going to be three, I think, no matter what. And then Verlander. I think it's settling in pretty.
How about well? How about now? Do you look at that? If Verlander comes back, the way Fromber is pitching, the way Hunter Brown has pitched, Kikuchi now, if he continues to throw this way, you put Ronel Blanco and Arrighetti into the bullpen.
Man, I can't believe I just skipped right over Ronel Blanco.
No,
but
Ronel
I mean,
Blanco
he's clearly hitting a wall right now.
He's hit the wall. There's no question. But I don't mind Ronel Blanco for is throwing as hard as he can for an inning.
No, not at all. I mean, you got Arrighetti and Blanco as longer relievers. If somebody gets in trouble, they can give you two innings. So, for sure, you'd have those two guys, and then you'd have your big three at the back end. We'll just call them big three. We know it hasn't really played out that way necessarily this year. And then you've got Scott. That's four. That's six in the bullpen. And
yes,
then
not for sure. King won't be there. We've already gone. Scott.
Oh, what about your boy who they just picked up? Gabe.
Caleb Ferguson.
Caleb Ferguson. What about Caleb Ferguson? Well, he's got major. He's played.
Yeah,
and he's a left-hander.
A two-run homer in the ninth to lose the game.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, besides that, he was doing that already in New York.
Yeah, no.
New York was shocked they got a player back.
And he continues to do that. Listen, what team has literally lost five starters? Five. You lost J.P. France, who was a starter for your team. You lost Lance McCullers for the season. You lost Javier for the season. You lost Garcia for the season. You lost Urquidy for the season.
Wait. Not Garcia for the season.
Well, yes, you have. I mean,
he
had another setback, too, by the way.
Yeah, and at this point, why are you bringing him back?
Well,
just let him miss the whole year.
Maybe. I mean,
John, what do you...
Well, you don't even know if he can pitch.
That's what I'm saying. Why are we even...
Right.
Maybe he gets there in September and what, becomes a bullpen guy? Like, you're not going to disrupt your starting rotation for Garcia. And there's probably a reason they went Kikuchi is they traded Kikuchi and, frankly, gave up, you know, what we thought was quite a bit for Kikuchi. More than likely, it's because they didn't have a lot of confidence. Number one, they knew McCullers wasn't coming back. We already knew that. But they did. They may not have had a lot of confidence in Luis Garcia coming back. So it intensified the need to get a pitcher with some strikeout potential, and that's probably why they got Kikuchi.
But the point being, I don't remember ever a team that's lost five starters. Literally five starters. Your whole rotation could be different. You wouldn't have Arrighetti up this year. I don't know if you would have stuck with Hunter Brown for as long as you did. You certainly, Ronel Blanco wouldn't have been in this rotation if you came out of spring training the way that you did. I mean, it's incredible. You know, I know it was a slow start. The offense sucked. The defense sucked. The bullpen sucked. Everybody sucked at the beginning of the year. I mean, you couldn't just blame the rotation for what happened. But what should be a weakness right now, the way that they pitched since the All-Star break?
Yeah.
Holy crap. This is incredible.
Yeah.
And especially guys with as many innings as they're getting right now.
Yeah. And for Arrighetti at this stage of the season where he should be, you know, Blanco has hit that wall. Arrighetti, 25 punch-outs his last two games. It's like, I mean, it's all coming together for him right now, which is, which maybe means you do need to be a little more careful with his innings as he, because, I mean, he's at an inning point right now where he's way above the norm for him, and they may need to dial him back a little bit, but you can't afford to, because you're, if you don't make the playoff, look, if you don't win your division, you're probably not making the playoffs.
You've got your longest stretch coming up of 18 straight games.
Ooh,
18
man.
Straight games. What the longest stretch of the season.
It's going to decide, it's going to decide the season more than likely.
It really is.
Because if you if you don't have, you know, if you're not pulling off at least 11-7,
so
11-7, maybe even 10-8, frankly, but if you pull off 11-7, 12-6, I think you make the playoffs.
So it could not come at a better time for Justin Verlander to come back. It just could not come at a better time.
Well, but when does that happen, John?
Well, during that streak, because it doesn't start until August 6th. It starts August 16th.
Will he be back in the major leagues by August 21st?
If he comes back 21st, 22nd, 23rd, in that neighborhood, it is going to be a godsend for this.
Well, if he pitches well. Because right now, the guys who they have pitching are actually pitching well.
Well, even if he doesn't. If he doesn't, he still gives the guys an extra day of rest.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. So, you know, that – it and especially the guys like you mentioned, Arrighetti, Blanco, Brown, they're getting to places they've never been before as far as innings. So it is, it's kind of a big deal that he comes back now or as soon as possible and gives them a little bit of a break during this 18-game stretch, because it doesn't end until September 3rd. It goes from August 16th to September 3rd. So that is – yeah. So they really, really, really need Justin Verlander to come back and give them a break. If not – you're going to have to start a Taylor Scott somewhere in there. They're not going to just go every 5 days with all of these guys. I don't see it. I just don't see it. And Justin, you know, he wants another start. You give him one more start, and then you go, okay, let's go, Justin. Even if you don't have your best stuff, if we know you can give us 60 or 70 pitches, we'll take it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, If Verlander comes back and he's strong, this rotation is setting up very nicely for the postseason. River Ryan went down now. Did you know that we had more Tommy John surgeries in 2023 than we had in the entire decade of the 90s?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm fully aware.
2023.
That's why it's so stupid for Jeff Passan to say... Jeff Passan said on Twitter, I can't believe he said this, maybe with the NBA basketball and, you know, with the excitement surrounding the men's Olympic basketball team and women's Olympic basketball team and the competitive games, maybe we can finally do the right thing and get baseball back in the Olympics. For what? We have the World Baseball Classic. Why would you want to shut down Major League Baseball's schedule for the Olympics when you have all these arm issues? Can you imagine who would play in this game? It'd just be a bunch of AAA players. What major leaguer would want to go play in the Olympics with, I mean, maybe some hitters and play for the country? Latin American players for sure would. Would you want that? Would you want them and somebody get hit in the wrist and knocked out for the year? Man, Jeff, come on.
No way.
No
way.
No, we're not bringing back Olympic baseball.
Oh, the World Baseball Classic is now like the World Cup for soccer. Only not as obviously not as big, but if for baseball people in other countries, they're looking at it like they love it. It's huge. So you know the Olympics, you can't do it. What are you going to take a month off during the season? Take a month off? I mean, no, you can't do it. America would send nothing but minor leaguers. That's what we'd send.
Mm-hmm.
And who cares? You know. But you're going to take. You're going to take all of these Hispanic players off of their roster, of their major league rosters, to go play in the Olympics? No, hell no. And you know what? They would do it too. They would. They would go. Sorry, I'm going to play in the Olympics for my country, and we don't care that much. I love our country because we don't care about our country nearly as much as they do. You don't love your country nearly.
Someone help out LZ. It was always young players. I remember when it was Oda B. McDown. It was Mark McGwire. I know a lot of them were college baseball players. Nobody cares, because if you open up, you will lose. Latin American players will go play for their countries. 100%. You cannot have that. You can't have – it's too much of a competitive imbalance. You can't. You have to basically shut down Major League Baseball for 2 weeks. It's already – it's a minimum of 2 weeks. And then you have to have training sessions. It doesn't make any sense. I'm sorry, Chalupa, Batman, dumbass, stupid ass. But it's just not – it doesn't make any sense. You have World Baseball Classic. There's no reason – which is, by the way, played out. You low IQ baseball guys, I am. Some people call me Mr. Baseball. Some people call me a numbers guy. What we know in our community, the baseball analytics community, what we know is that the World Baseball Classic is here to stay, and you need to stay in your lane. Okay?
Yeah.
Ooh, you know what? I'm just going to start. I'm just going to start blocking people. This is my first time to block people. Watch this. Add to block list. Okay, he's blocked.
Block people. Just mute them.
No, on the restream. I'm going to start blocking him.
Oh, blocking him.
I've never had this chance.
Okay.
I've never blocked
anybody.
Why don't
we break it here and talk about Maestro Dobell while you're blocking everybody?
All right, let's talk about Maestro Dobell. Maestro Dobell has a great opportunity for you to experience what it's like to finally enjoy a tequila that is distilled and aged properly, that is made with the best ingredients. And it's a process that has gone on for decades and decades. And Maestro Dobell is going to make sure that you have the opportunity to enjoy a great tequila, no matter what type of tequila you are drinking. When I say that, what I mean by that is, hey, listen, you may be an Añejo fan and you don't even know it. You may be a fan of Reposado and you may not even know it because you just ordered the Silvers and that's what you've had, or you've just had them for shots, or maybe you've had them in margaritas or whatever the case may be. If you've never sipped a Cristalino, then you have no idea about what you might really enjoy, which is a fine tequila that is made specifically for you to enjoy even by itself. And that's what the difference is with Maestro Dobell. So Maestro Dobell, wherever fine liquors are sold, make sure you ask for it by name, Maestro Dobell.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
As you streamers can see, John is currently unavailable. Well, he's sitting back down right now. But John's not really important this segment anyway, right? Because it's ship talk. We haven't done this in a little bit for multiple reasons. But what happened this weekend that we may not have gotten to that caused a little controversy? As John comes back, welcome back, John. We're going to start in Boulder, where Deion had a very contentious press conference. He called out multiple local reporters. Apparently, he has
going
a
so poorly.
He has
for him
a giant issue with CBS, and a local reporter caught the shrapnel from Deion's issue. Here's the clip.
Next guy, Eric Christensen with CBS Sports Colorado.
CBS, Tyler, I'm not doing nothing with CBS. Next question,
Joe Rigo, my last.
Ain't got nothing to do with you. It's above that. Ain't got nothing to do with you. I got love for you. I appreciate you. Respect you. Ain't got nothing to do with you. They know what they did.
I'm here in Denver, not national.
You are who you are. CBS is CBS.
All right.
Joe Rigo, my life's with you. I respect you. That's why I told you that. I'm looking you in the eye as a man. I respect you. I got love for you. But what they did was foul.
Okay. That wasn't all, though. I mean, and oh, by the way, Deion, stop already. He also said, somebody asked him about chemistry. How do you bolster? What does bolster mean?
What does that even mean?
What does that even
mean?
Improve? To bolster?
He
was such an a-hole.
Deion is not built for this. And,
no.
And I honestly, I thought Deion, I'll admit it, I was wrong. I thought Deion was going to go in there, and I thought it was going to be totally different than it is. But this just, I mean, Deion's not built for this. He's, number one, he made his play. Did you see the report? Why he's not? I think it's because of On3, who owns CBS, owns On3. They had a big report. Aren't they the ones, Dell, that had the report that the five-star, some player had to fight a veteran in the locker room, an offensive lineman?
No, I believe that was Athlon Sports.
Oh, Athlon Sports, yeah. So you saw that report, didn't
what
you, John?
What did CBS do?
Who knows?
Well, I don't know what they did. He just
yeah, no, no, I saw, yeah, that there's that the locker room is terrible. And yes,
you had
yes.
to have fights. Like one guy had to fight another guy, and then the guy ended up transferring.
What did CBS like Dion, do?
We don't know. Said he they just had to fight. Has an issue with them. We don't know what it is. Okay.
We don't know. He also told. Did you see the video of him at his practice where you're not allowed to get anywhere near? His son because he's going to make $250 million because quarterbacks now make $250 million a year. Like, what kind of message is that to send to your players who are trying to play? Right. He lets his son make fun of the offensive line on streams. There's just no leadership over there. And then you had Travis. He goes, and Travis Hunter, he can't be touched either. That's just the way it is. You can't touch these guys. And Deion is a mess over there. They better win at an incredibly high level.
Yep. Next one, Dale.
Well, let's stick with college football. The notice of allegations came down on Michigan. Jim Harbaugh really didn't have to deal with it very much. He, you know, coaches the Chargers. Well, he was asked about it, and he gave a response that Paul Feinbaum didn't like. So we'll first hear Jim Harbaugh's response and then Paul Feinbaum's reaction to it.
Yeah, I do have a comment on that. Never lie, never cheat, never steal. I was raised with that lesson. I have raised my family on that lesson. I have preached that lesson to the teams that I've coached. No one's perfect. If you stumble, you apologize, and you make it right. Today, I do not apologize. I did not participate, was not aware, nor complicit in those said allegations. So for me, it's back to work. And attacking with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
He has a show.
I mean, it is. It's an Oscar-winning performance, Greeny. I mean, I had a lot of different emotions. I mean, I wanted to throw all kinds of adjectives up on the board. I wanted to label him as a pathological liar, as someone who is delusional. But I can't do it anymore because I think he in many ways is the Jack Nicholson of coaching. He's a man for all seasons. He has so many different lanes and you really just can't get mad at the guy. I mean, you can't say he ran a program into the ground because they won the national championship. Yeah, he left a stench behind, but as we have said, it will get cleaned up with very little penalty. He's making a fortune with the Chargers, and I'm going to bow at the feet of Jim Harbaugh for pulling off this scam and then acting like he didn't do anything wrong.
He might be right. He's, you know, is that ship talk, Del? Is he talking ship about him?
Well, they're both talking forms of ship, and yeah. I would say that Jim Harbaugh ain't the first guy. I mean, we forget. Because Pete Carroll was an NFL coach for a very long time, but Pete Carroll got out of USC when he knew what was coming down.
Oh, yeah.
He left, too. It happens.
And they both were in trouble, but there's a show cause they had a show cause ruling on him, which means Jim Harbaugh basically is banned from college football for 4 years. Yeah. Now, I don't expect that to matter. So if you're Jim Harbaugh, why would you admit anything? Why would you say anything? Is there a chance that Sharon Moore and people behind the scenes at Michigan did something behind Jim's back? I mean, you could say that, but I just think that it's hard. I mean, you're gathering this intel so that you have the ability to make calls offensively and defensively that is to your advantage. They've already said that this actually happened. College football, they've done their investigating. Right? Correct me if I'm wrong, Dale, but what they said was, we know this happened.
No, yes.
This for sure happened.
Yes, it
happened. So do we really think the head coach was completely, like, A.J. Hinch knew, he didn't like it, but he knew about what was going on with the Astros. Art Briles knew about what was going on at Baylor. I think it's pretty much impossible, especially if you're trying to gain an advantage.
He knew.
Yeah, he knew. If you're trying to gain an advantage, then how do you, and you're part of the play call, and you're part of the install of offenses or defenses, how do you not know?
No. He absolutely knew, and the whole staff, everybody knew.
Well, look at the timeline. He was pretty good, and then he had one the bad COVID year, and he was on the hot seat. They couldn't beat Ohio State, and then when they started the cheating, they dominate the Big Ten.
Now, worst cheaters, women's Canadian soccer, or Jim Harbaugh, or Michigan football.
Well, they used drones. They didn't send some guy who was standing on other people's
sidelines. Sideline. Hello, other Western. Jersey. Hello, other Western Michigan Broncos. I am also a Western Michigan Bronco. How about our Western Michigan Bronco players and fighting Broncos? What? Who are you?
Well,
how about you can stand on a sideline and nobody knows who the hell you are and they don't even question you?
Well, but wait, if you can see all the plays that another team's going to have because you're using drones to tape their practice, that's pretty good too.
It's not as good.
That's
though.
Pretty good.
It's not. And it's the walkthrough with they usually did that the walkthrough before the match, which is an important day because you see the setup about who's going to play and who's not, because injuries, they can always decide who they want to play like 90 minutes before the game. They make it public. But if you knew that a day before, it certainly helps. You can see corners and their setup for that, all their set pieces and stuff. But, yeah, you send a guy onto the other team's field in a disguise. You win, Michigan. You win. And it led to 3 Big Ten titles and a national title. Canada, you know, they did win an Olympic gold medal, but yeah. They didn't win a World Cup. Like Michigan did, as
no, but they went far, speaking. Right? What did they? How far did they go?
Well, the women didn't go that far, and the men didn't either. But they qualified for World Cups. The big thing they did was win a gold medal in the last Olympics. We got one more. We had some more, but you know, we're a little late. We didn't play this, and it's a surprise that we didn't get to it yet. We're going to Indianapolis because we can trash talk and determine who are the better horses with this song, because sometimes you just bleed blue.
This is our Colts. This is our team. We bleed blue. This is our Colts. Whether win or lose, we love them. For the shoe, beat the Broncos. Let's show them who the real horse is. This is our team. Go Colts!
If you're wondering what that is, that's a horse neigh at the very end of the song.
Yeah, it's a whinny.
We love you.
Is that Chance?
No, that's not Chance.
That wasn't Chance?
Let's listen back.
Listen to this.
This is our Colts. This
that
is
sounds
our
like
team.
Chance.
But it is. I've seen the video.
This is our Colts.
And he does a lot. He does a heart sound.
We love
he does a heart
them.
Thing with
for
his
the
hands.
The Broncos. Let's show them who the real horse is. This is our team. Go Colts!
That's a
this
great
is for
mini.
A preseason game, by the way.
I love
yesterday's
that
game.
Song.
I just want you to know, Lance. Every time you reference your good buddy Chris Ballard.
He can't like this.
No. Every time we talk,
every
listen.
Time you reference the Colts and Chris Ballard, that's what I'm playing.
This is our Colts.
That's the best. That is the best. all right, we got to break in here. 713-780-3776. I got to talk about the chest. Thanks. I want to talk about. Just the best damn dealership. I'm working on what I'm going to do with my vehicle coming here back and forth. And I, you know what? The only thing that I know for sure is that it's going to be at Chastain Ford. That's the only thing that I know for sure. It's going to be – I'm going to be getting it at Chastain Ford. Right now they got special lease offers, exclusive deals like $299 a month. $299 a month for the Bronco Sport. Zero down payment options for the Explorer and F-150s. I mean – you're looking for the best way to get into. I'm telling you, they're giving you these deals. Zero down. Explorer, F-150, the Lightning. You want zero down. You want $299 a month for the Bronco Sport. You're not going to get hidden fees. You're going to get it's easy to get to, just to 5-10 minutes from downtown. Customer satisfaction. Go look at the Google reviews. A complimentary maintenance through Ford Pass Rewards for new vehicle purchases and leases. You got a summer cash promotion, $4,500 on the F-150, okay? $4,500 cash, F-150 XLT. This is excellent. People, I got the XLT in my at Lightning. I love it, love it, love it. You'll love it too. You're looking for a vehicle, there's only one place to go. On 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
You You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Every time we talk about the Colts, Del, every time we talk about the Colts, you
go Colts!
I love that. Is that the whole song, or did he have more?
I don't know. That's the only clip. About 30 seconds or so is what I found. It's everywhere now. But
every time. No.
Colts!
That's so bad.
I can't wait for Colts.
It's
I can't
so bad,
wait
it's
for
wonderful.
I can't wait for week one.
I know, right? And we're going to be talking about them all the time. Right?
Yeah. Did you see Anthony Richardson's performance? Didn't look much different from, you know, last year.
Go Colts!
Oh, when you hit us with that, when we're not expecting it,
that's
going to be the best. That's going to be the best. All right. 713-780-3776. Did you have any takeaways from the Texans game?
Yeah. The interior of the offensive line, that wasn't comforting. Now, Shaq Mason didn't play, but
neither did the tackles.
Yeah, neither the tackles. The tackles weren't that big of a problem. The interior, when they were trying to run the football, that was bothersome, and D'Amico talked about it too as well. He got into a more technical aspect of it, just from what I saw. I know Damian Pierce may not be a fit, but I don't know. I can't tell from Friday because apparently no one's a fit, at least in the blocking scheme.
They had Nick Breaker, who's a guard over at right tackle. They had who was it right guard who I was watching, real stiff-hipped. Hold on. I just got done watching all of Kenyon Green's snaps. I was happy with Kenyon Green. He played with good pad level. He got to where he needed to go on outside zone plays on the backside. He got his head across opponents. I thought Kenyon did a nice job. I thought he did a nice job. And he was playing against playing against some legitimate defensive linemen. Like, they had Ogunjobi out there for a little while. So they had some legitimate linemen here. Here's the, let's see, I saw Blake Fisher. Blake Fisher looked a little bit straight-legged. I didn't love everything I saw from him. Let's see, 64, Nick Breaker was out there. 62, Chris Reed looked terrible at guard. I thought that Juice Scruggs did pretty well there. But, yeah, that right side, the right guard and right tackle combination, neither one of them are starters. Just not good.
They're not going to be on the team.
They're not going to.
Starters.
Those two guys may not be on the team. You're actually right.
Yeah. I mean, that's.
I only watched all until Kenyon Green was done. But I thought Kenyon did a pretty good job. And his pass protection, he still leans a little bit forward, which you got to watch for. But he was a little more patient with his hands. He was a little bit lighter on his feet. I saw some things I liked. I don't think he's ever going to be a plus. I don't think he still, to me, looks a little bit shell-shocked in terms of, you know, I don't really see him get as aggressive as I saw in pro football. But remember, he didn't play, I mean, as he did at A&M, but he didn't play last year. The year before, he only played part of the year, and it wasn't good. So this is like, he's at a lighter weight. He's going to have to get some of his confidence back, but it's been, so far, the snaps he's had in the first two games I think have been pretty good. So I mean, it would be huge to have Kenyon Green playing better football so you can solidify guard, center, guard with Shaq Mason, Juice Scruggs. I have no worries about Juice at center. So if you can get Kenyon playing well there,
what about
guard,
Kendrick?
Well, we'll find out. I mean, did Kendrick play this last game? I got to check and see if Kendrick even had snaps, because so far in this game that I've watched, I have not seen 53 in unless he just came in. I don't know if he's got an injury or what's going on, but
he played in the first game. I don't know.
He did, but Kenyon Green got the first set of reps. But I don't know that that's necessarily great.
No,
if you're getting the first set of reps in the first two preseason games, this may be Ken.
That means they want to see you. That's what they want to see.
Oh yeah, this is Green right here. So Green's coming in after Kenyon Green. Kendrick Green came in after Kenyon Green. So that can't be great for Kendrick Green.
Or they want to see Kenyon. They want to see what Kenyon is doing against the better competition. It may not be good for Kenyon because they want to, you know, see if he can hold up against those guys. They know what Kendrick can do. You never know. You never know what coaches are thinking when they're playing guys. Dell, why don't we listen to D'Amico talk about the offensive line, because he did get a little bit technical there. No Laramie. There's no Titus. There was no Shaq. I mean, I don't know what we were expecting from the offensive line. But they were down three offensive linemen last year. And so, I mean, we have to expect this, that there's going to be injuries. So you better have some depth. Here's D'Amico talking about the offensive line play on Friday night.
The running game, I think, first off, we have to just stay attached on our blocks, especially on the front side. We have to stay attached and we have to finish better on the front side to get the runs going. I think a lot of our runs got stalled because, you know, we had guys penetrating in the backfield or guys shooting gaps, and we have to respond better, all right, to movement to get our run game going.
So what he's talking about there, so there's front side means play side. So if you're running towards the right, the guys on the right need to stay connected to their blocks, and they didn't. Like, they for sure didn't in this. And the penetration, I'll tell you a big part of it, though, John, was rookie Peyton Wilson. Good Lord, 41 was scraping down into the hole. And then I watched one where Damian Pierce, it's his job to press the line of scrimmage. Means even if he sees 41 there, you want him to keep on going so he flows a little bit more so that tackle could get up and get to that linebacker. But Peyton Wilson, who had 100-plus tackles in his last 2 years at NC State, he would have been drafted maybe in the first round if not for all of his injury issues. That dude, number 41, was flying downhill and screwing up all kinds of blocking schemes. Like, he was screwing up climb-up blocks. And that's, like, part of it was the offensive line's fault, and part of it was, hey, you know, sometimes you just, John, as Craig Biggio would say,
yeah,
sometimes
yes.
You got to tip your cap.
Tip your cap. Tip your cap, brother. That's what you got to do. It'll be better. It'll be better than that. Hopefully, it'll be
with
a lot
starters,
better.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be a lot better than that. And, you know, maybe there might be a place for, I can't judge Damian Pierce with that offensive line play. How can you possibly say?
Well, he only gets a certain amount of snaps.
He had four carries.
Yeah, but, I mean, that doesn't mean that. Look, he's got Cam Akers and Agumba Wale now. You remember when there used to be just a bunch of scrubs on the roster? Mm-hmm. Isn't it crazy now to see? Now, I will say the offensive line does not have great talent in terms of depth. But you look at the wide receiving depth. You look at the defensive line depth now. Like, they got legitimate defensive line depth. They have legitimate wide receiver depth. They have legitimate running back depth.
Yep. No, absolutely.
It's like we have a real football team. Our owner is shotgunning beers and kicking beers into the, by the way, Pete's Fine Meats. You know Luke Combs went into Michael's, Pete's Fine Meats, and got 25 tomahawks?
No way.
For his roadies? Yeah. He by himself. Well, him and his bodyguard. But Michael said that the guy from Energy Stadium said, where can I go get some tomahawks? He said, Pete's Fine Meats. So he went there because a certain NFL owner may also go in there too. And so Luke Combs came in himself, and Michael said, man, he was so cool with everybody who was there. People wanted to
That's
take
awesome.
Pictures. And he said, listen, I want to get how many do you have? I want to get them all. He bought out all of his tomahawks. And then
Wow. He
wanted all of his roadies and everyone there that was working on his stuff to have a big tomahawk steak. So Michael's
that
like, we're
awesome.
Getting some back in. Don't worry. He said, but he said Luke Combs was just the coolest guy. And so C.J. Stroud.
I love that.
You saw.
I love
so
that when a guy is cool.
I know. And you saw the. So here's the thing. Luke Combs wanted the players to shotgun beers, and Cal didn't want them to have to, you know, have that pressure on them. So Cal said, why don't I do it? And that's what I heard that from a very good source, that Cal said, let me do this, because C.J. Stroud's not going to shotgun a beer. And I don't know who else was out there on the stage. Do you know who any of the other players were?
See, that's why I don't shotgun beers, because Jesus never shotgunned a beer.
Well, did he shotgun wine?
CJ, no, I haven't shotgun wine. You don't shotgun wine.
Well, because you don't put it in a can, but he may have chugged a wine.
No, but CJ's like, with Jesus, don't we ain't doing that.
Well, you don't want that. If you screw up a shotgun, you're going to look bad and you're going to turn into a meme. You can't do that. Cal, it's not Cal's first shotgun and beer.
It's not only that. He's a player and he's in the
I know. And so Cal said, I'll do it. Yeah, and that's what Cal's like. They're playing right now. Cal shotgunned it. And for those who didn't see it, he shotgunned a beer with Luke Combs, then tossed it and kicked it into this. Like, he didn't miss or do anything goofy. Let's honestly say this. We have to say this. Cal McNair, his turnaround, I likened it to Tarly. Do you remember him, John? The guy who found the dragon glass, the little from Game of Thrones. He was the one who was kicked out of everything. He was kicked out of the off the wall. He was just some schlub. And then he somehow found dragon glass and killed a White Walker with it. And then by the end, he's one of the, like, remember? And by the end, he's got this girl. He's got this kid. He's a maester or whatever. Same thing with Bran. Just some kid getting kicked out of a window when he's seeing two people going at it. And then by the end, he's the boss of everybody? Hodor? Well, look at the character
Hodor.
Arcs.
Hodor.
Well, but, you know, he...
Who are you comparing to Hodor?
Nobody, but what I'm saying is Cal has gone from... And Solas made a good point. C.J. Stroud was his dragon glass. As soon as he found C.J. Stroud...
D'Amico was his dragon glass.
Maybe D'Amico was the dragon glass.
Both of them.
But all I know is...
one of them was the White Walker that he slayed.
John, it was Tommy Boy. It was Burger King crown memes. Yeah. It was Tommy Boy jokes. Then all of a sudden, he gets D'Amico and he gets C.J. Stroud and he gets Will Anderson. In 1.5 years, he's gone from knowledge is power, all that stuff. And now he's shotgunning beers, taking pictures with rap icons, throwing up the H. He's everyone's favorite. There's nobody in the city who doesn't like Cal McNair. And there was nobody in this. And sell the team! Sell the team!
Oh, my God. They could not put out a tweet without 40 sell the teams underneath it.
It was a disaster. And now he is beloved. This is the same character arc we see in professional wrestling. Like, I've never seen anything like this in my life. And Hannah McNair, go look at that video where Cal goes and shotguns a beer. Hannah kind of leads him out, and then she backs away to make sure that she's not in the shot. Like, I'm convinced Hannah is one of the most brilliant PR. She might be the most brilliant marketing and PR effective crisis management PR person I have ever seen in my life. Not even close. Hannah McNair has done the best job of anyone that I've ever seen ever.
Littlefinger?
We got to break it because you got to talk about is John Daspit. I mean, look at the turnover. He didn't really have a turnover.
No. Well, I mean, John Daspit went to high school here, played basketball, went to University of Texas, got 2 degrees there, got a degree at University of Houston for his law degree, continues to help out people in the Houston community, not with just personal injury lawyer, you know, as a personal injury lawyer, but also with Thanksgiving stuff. He's talking right now. I had a high school reach out to me, and they ask about seeing if there was any way that John might be able to donate because they're 1,500, like they can't even finance their own athletic program. John goes, yeah, let's give them more than that. You know, he goes, I don't want to give them 1,500. Let's do more than that. And that's kind of how John Daspit is. He wants to help out here in the Houston community. And one of the best ways he does that is through the personal injury lawyer route. He has a bunch of lawyers, people who get hurt through no fault of their own on the roadway, at the workplace, wherever. They don't typically know what to do. They may not have insurance, health insurance. And so it's scary. You don't want to go to the doctor and pile up those bills. Daspit says, look, we're getting you to the doctor. We're going to get everything looked at. All of your injuries are going to be taken care of. If it's really severe, we'll make sure that the surgeries and, you know, your physical therapy, that's all going to get paid for. Nothing's coming out of your pocket. And we are going to get you money for time you miss from work. That's going to be compensated. And your pain and suffering is going to be compensated. So he takes all of the guesswork and the anxiety out of your, you know, off your shoulders and off out of your hands. And he will go to work for you. And he fights hard, passionately pursuing justice for the injured. That's the motto with the Daspit Law Firm. Go to DaspitLaw.com or 713, call now.
ESPN
97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.